people, the landmarks, the rich history. Join Coin6 as we explore all things local. This is Where We Live with Ken Boddy.
It's one of the busiest mass transit systems in the United States. Light rail is critical to the growth of the entire Portland metro area. For this week's Where We Live, I climb aboard a train and talk with Bob Hastings from TriMet about the past, the present, and the future of the MAX. Well, we're here talking with Bob Hastings from TriMet. And Bob, what's your title?
I am a project manager for strategic partnerships in our real estate, basically our transit-oriented development team.
Tell me the short story about how MAX Light Rail got started.
You know, at the beginning in the 1970s, Oregon was really facing some very severe pollution issues. And light rail was thought that this might be one of the ways to help reduce air pollution and improve the air quality. So it was really that idea of land use planning with transportation overlaid.
And how did we get this first light rail line to come out here to Gresham?
Boy, it was a big lift. It took a lot of political leadership, both at the city of Portland level, Gresham, Multnomah County, just all sorts of regional partners, also the state of Oregon, Oregon Department of Transportation. And the vision was that by this first light rail project, it would really help show to folks that maybe transit, light rail transit, could be part of the future for the region.
And has it turned out that way?
Boy, it really has. We've seen over the years, ridership growing across the whole region. But that very first line from downtown Portland out to Gresham, that was the one that sort of had to pave the way and prove to folks that this was a viable way to get around the region.
How were the routes chosen, the light rail lines themselves?
The selection process goes through Metro, which is our regional land use planning authority. And we, TriMet, follow the lead that they've established. What they're looking for are ways to link, as we grow as a region, where our land use is going to be, that the transit system really supports that that diagram. And that's what we've been doing over the last, 30, 40 years.
Now, when you look at the routes that have been taken since the Gresham line, has it worked out that there has been economic development? Because I know that was part of the thought process when you were determining where these tracks were going to be.
Right.
So has that concept actually worked out in reality?
That has been the goal, the preposition that transit would help then spur economic development at the different light rail stations. And I think as you look across the region, we can definitely see absolutely that has been the case. There's still more to do. There's still more density and development opportunities at some of our key light rail stations. I know the city of Gresham is looking for, again, making more walkable, compact city, and the light rail stations that we've established are really going to be part of the keys to that.
Well, I think if people have been along all of the system lines, that really plays out in Beaverton, the station you have there.
Yes.
With the Round and City Hall and residences out there. It just seems like that has worked at that particular location, especially.
So we've seen a lot of economic development happening on the west side in the city of Hillsborough and Beaverton, the high-tech corridor, the Silicon Forest, as it's known. That has really brought a lot more people into that part of the region. And one of our kind of key stations that we can really see how it's played out is the Orenco station. And we've seen even in the recession, coming out of the recession, the seeds have been planted to really have a dense, livable, walkable communities at that station.
What do we see for the future of light rail?
That's a great question. I think what we're going to see in the future of light rail, we're going to see certainly going to the Southwest Corridor. We're hoping to reach down to Tigard and Tualatin. Still has to be voted on for the folks locally to support that bond measure. But the planning process is already underway, as we've always done in the past, really reaching out into the communities and trying to understand what is needed at that local level and what is needed at a regional level. I think the recent opening of the Orange Line, the Portland to Milwaukee project, kind of demonstrated to folks that we can do light rail stations that are very sympathetic to the neighborhood and sympathetic to the local needs.
The Tillicum Crossing Bridge, that was a real benefit of that line as well. It's one of the nicest bridges in Portland now.
it's recognized internationally as one of the most interesting bridges, certainly in Portland, but also across the country. You know, we get a lot of visitors coming into the region. And one of the things now that's that kind of icon, they want to go across the Tillicum Crossing, either on a bike, on a skateboard, walking, certainly by transit, everything but by private car. And it's certainly unlocked for Oregon Health Sciences University, as well as OMSI, a future development that'll happen on either side of the bridge.
When we look at our transportation in the Portland metro area, people are really concerned about congestion now. Mm-hmm. The freeways are packed. It mm-hmm. seems like rush hour is all day long now. TriMet looks at that, and will this help that problem? Will the fact that our light rail system mm-hmm. is expanding, will that help with what's happening out on the roads, you think?
You know, we've demonstrated with our transit system that each bus, each light rail vehicle, there's so many people who can choose to use that and don't have to drive a private vehicle. So we're already having a lot of impact. But again, with more people moving into the region, that's going to have to be thought about even more. Certainly the project, the Southwest Corridor, the Tigard and Tualatin, that's going to give another viable option. And sometimes it's probably going to be a faster ride from Bridgeport Village all the way into downtown Portland. But also people moving for jobs and economic opportunity into what we call the Tigard Triangle. So no longer do you only have to come into downtown Portland. You can go in the other direction for jobs and for housing and just the regular living of your life. But congestion is part of the problem that transit's trying to be a tool to help solve. It's not the only tool. It's not going to solve everything.
I understand that this may be the third or fourth busiest light rail system in the country. Mm-hmm. Is that mm-hmm. your understanding?
What we do in Portland, we have the expression that we sort of punch above our weight class, meaning that for the size of the city that we are and the amount of transit ridership that we have, well, we might be the 25th largest city, but we're in the top 10 in terms of ridership per capita across the country in Portland, Oregon. So when you compare us to New York and Chicago and some of the older big cities that really grew up around transit, we're demonstrating that it is something that has worked for us as a region and certainly can be part of what we want to do as a future for the city and for the region.
People love the light rail system. The complaints I hear are about expense. Mm-hmm. They're very expensive. Mm-hmm. I think the last line that you built was like $1.5 billion. Mm-hmm. Safety and security issues mm-hmm. on the trains. I mean, right. We've had some pretty high profile yeah. incidents yeah. at stations and yeah. on trains themselves. So how does TriMet look at those mm-hmm. two issues, the expense of building a light rail line mm-hmm. and safety and security once that line is built?
Boy, you've touched on two key issues. You're right. The expense of building the light rail project, it's really a regional investment, but it also allows us to capture some of the federal funding that we wouldn't ordinarily get. So the cost per impact to the rider, it's still that ticket price that they're looking at, that $2.50, or now with our low income fare, it could be half that. So I know people look at the big picture, but I think they also look at how does it affect me? How can I find that transit pass and get in and utilize light rail? Will I feel comfortable on it? Do I feel comfortable either going to a Blazer game or doing shopping? That's the perception, and that perception is really important to what we do, both for the vehicles that we have, the way we give our service, the way even our light rail stations are designed. That perception is really important. So I'm putting a greater emphasis on we've got to do more. We have to provide both people on the system that you can reach out and say, hey, I've got a question or I've got a need. We have ways that we're looking at our stations with closed circuit televisions, with uniformed folks on the system. I think we're doing a lot more to address that perception of safety that folks have.
Just a couple more questions here, Bob. I understand that we've done stories, as a matter of fact, about the switch from the individual paper tickets to things like the hop pass. So tell me how technology is changing how people will access the system. Yeah. And what about people from out of town who don't know about hop passes and everything?
one of the, that's a great point, Ken, because we get so many visitors now to the Portland region, and they come for a wide variety of reasons, from microbrews to indie music and other conventions and whatnot. But because transit connects to so many of these events and places they want to go to, it also connects to where they want to stay with lodging. And so it's an easy way. And we've heard anecdotally from our tourism folks, you get to Portland, you can park the car. You don't need it to get around. You get that transit pass. And some of the best ambassadors for helping folks navigate and figure that out are the businesses themselves, because we connect so closely with what their needs are and who their customers are. So having a pass, it's almost like that one ticket, and you can go on all the rides in Portland, from light rail, streetcar, our buses. That one pass gets you into all the modes. And I think in addition to technology and having a robust website and having smartphone technology, Google Maps, there's still that sector of folks who go, can I just ask somebody how to get someplace? You know, and that's where you connect actually with probably the spirit of Portland, the people in Portland. We have folks, I see it all the time. They observe there's somebody looking at a map, they're looking around trying to figure out, folks will just gone up and say, can I help you find where you want to go? I think Portlanders just kind of navigate towards folks to help them out in that kind of complex environment. But we see so many folks from around the world coming to Portland, and they want to ride on the transit system. It's almost like it's a piece of entertainment. It's not just a way to get around. It's a way to see the city and to see the region.
But I'll still have the ability, say, I just want to take light rail from downtown
yep.
to a Blazer game and back.
Yep.
I can still buy a ticket to do that.
Yes, correct? You can. Yes, you can. And we have more ways that you can find those tickets with different vendors and retail establishments. So that Hop Fast Pass, you can pick that up and you can use it for that one event. You can come back the next week or next month and load it up again and then continue to use it. So that paper ticket that we used to have, that flimsy piece of paper that would fly out of your hand, you know, that was kind of the last century. Now we've migrated to the next generation of tickets. I think there'll be more devices as we go into the future. That's what we'd like to have.
Is this system an example for other transit systems around the country? Do other cities come and look at what we're doing with MAX and try to apply that to their own cities?
A great question. Gosh, yes. People have heard around the world, as well as up in Seattle and down in Eugene, there's something that's happening here in Portland with this MAX system. Why is it so useful? Why do people seem to move towards it and want to use it? Is there a lesson that we can learn in Portland? I see and meet with delegations all the time from Japan to South America to Europe. And they're trying to figure out, what is so special about Portland? Why is your transit system working so well in not the biggest city in North America, but in a place, you know, that seems like it's kind of in a remote corner of the world? I think like our Portland microbrews and our Oregon wines, they want to bottle that up and take it back to wherever they are. But they also have to understand that what we created here for us, you know, may not be translatable to Houston, Texas. There may be parts of it that are useful. But that's where we try to really give them the details and the stories and the history and the people of what has helped create the system that we have today. And then where is it going to take us to in 5 years, 10, 15, 20 years? There's a lot of talk about the future disruption, different technologies. Will transit still be relevant in the future? And that's a question that we're facing now. Rather than waiting for that to come to us, we're going to, again, try to forge that path, that good Oregon way of innovating and looking to the future.
TriMet is also moving forward with electronic ticketing and smartphone technology that incorporates other modes of transportation, including Lyft and Uber. There are so many stories to tell about where we live, and we want to hear from you. Please send your story ideas to coinpodcasts@coin.com, and be sure to download and subscribe to Where We Live and all of the Coin 6 podcasts at the Apple Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.